Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It is 8:14. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. Muslim Amani, founder of One Movement South Africa. First of all, good morning and congratulations on the new political party. I know we're not going to talk much about it because we'll do so after the official launch, but I just wanted to congratulate you on that milestone.
No, thank you. Certainly, I just think given the state of our country, and I really believe we need change. I believe we have a vision for this nation, and it's something that I'm working to say, how do South Africans who share our vision, who want this country to prosper, want to actually contribute to making sure that we have a growing economy and a working education, coalesce together to bring that change? And so, I mean, you know, it's going to be a journey. I'm inviting South Africans to work together to bring change.
Absolutely. And again, as I said, we'll talk some in some further detail about that. But what I wanted to ask you is, obviously, like the rest of South Africa, you have to be mortified, although not shocked, mortified as to the state of our electricity supply.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, load shedding this year hits a 15-year anniversary. That's in its teen years. I mean, that is the first dilemma that we face. The second is there's been no accountability about the failures of Eskom. And let's not deny the fact that with all of the bouts of load shedding, you can literally remove 1% of our GDP growth, which in essence is close to about 100,000 jobs. So that's what this thing is costing us in real terms, because it's not just families having to, you know, function without electricity, is businesses shutting down. And once you're at stage six, the generator capacities that businesses supplement their energy supplies with are just insufficient. You can't, otherwise you might as well just say you have your own private electricity. So to me, I think that more than anything, and the thing that is shocking is that all of us are kind of welcoming the fact that President Ramaphosa is cutting his trip short to come to South Africa. And there's a part of me in my head that wonders, is he coming to give another speech, or what exactly?
What will he do when he gets here? Because haven't we heard it all before?
Undeniably. And worse of that is that we've got a deputy president who is inactive. You would have thought that given the fact that you've got the head of state out of the country, the deputy president should have been able to command the troops. He should have been at Eskom this morning giving an update politically. There is a culture in this country that says, given that the governing party has failed to manage the electricity crisis, that when a crisis such as this one hits, it's the bureaucrat, it's the CEO who has to respond. Whilst in fact, it was, we all know, state capture through the ANC. Mm-hmm. It was, as we all know, the fact that the unions are in high salary demand. And it is, as we know, the fact that policy decisions that were poorly made as early as President Mbeki indicate the fact that now we've literally made a situation where the country does not have a stable electricity supply. But, you know, we need to now be bold. I believe load shedding can be dealt with in 2 years. Really, having spoken to enough energy experts, understand the fact that we've got to make tough decisions now. We can't just be protecting an entity like Eskom. We need to be much more aggressive at the diversification of energy. And we need to allow metros to be able to procure their own energy. That's the state of play that we're in.
Right. And that's what's so fascinating is I see the announcement that Eskom is going to be buying 1,000 megawatts from a private supplier, from a private producer, and that's very good news on the one hand. But why did it need to get to this? Did they not know what was going on? Why are we managing everything in crisis mode? We see Coca-Cola stepping into Kebega and helping with the water situation. This is not a new story.
No, undeniably. And you know, policy and leadership are fundamental issues if you want to run a government. Part of the dilemma that we face is the fact that Eskom, there are multiple ministries that have an interest in, that have an oversight over that. It's the Ministry of Energy, the Ministry of State-owned enterprises, etc. So it creates confusion.
Well, I was just going to say, who's actually responsible? I don't know, and I'm very involved in this. I don't know where does the buck stop? Aside from the president, where does the buck stop in terms of government here?
completely. So that's the first dilemma. That's why no one is responsible. At a point in time, if you are running a company and we all looked up at that company and said, you can't deliver a basic service that we pay you for, someone should get fired. But no one can because no one is accountable. And then you've also got this interministerial committee that has been designed, which President Ramaphosa was a part of, and now I think the deputy president is a part of, that literally cannot give us a report as to what is going on. So the second end is there are these political considerations that happen inside the ANC itself. It's a protection of its own unions, it's a protection of its own employees. And they literally are like the tail wagging the dog. And effectively, what we've got to do now is to say to ourselves, if we are going to have a stable energy program, one, we need one leadership line to be taken, a board that is appointed that actually is a combination of private and public sector people, mm-hmm. and then ensure that ultimately that all of these, the planning of energy, because it's a science. You've got to project what your energy demands are going to be 10 years from now, so that either you build generation capacity or you diversify it now. Because if you don't start that plan now, you run two risks. Sometimes countries end up with overcapacitation, as we saw in the early 90s, where you have to mothball power stations, and that's money that's lying. Or you have to plan it to such a point that you know that you'll never run out of energy supply. And I really believe globally this is not a fresh problem. We know how battery power has improved. We know how solar works better. And there are companies that I've been engaging some of them to be able to wheel energy so that you have a stock exchange that buys, that people can generate energy and others can buy energy from. So this is a massive opportunity for South Africa, not only to revitalize a sector of the economy, but secondly, to be able to say, can we keep the lights on a much more stable basis? Mm.
Is this political, or is this... In other words, political sabotage, or is this really just everything happening at the same time in terms of breakdowns?
It's the dying of the ANC, and it's bringing the country with it, I'm afraid, because in many ways, as sad as that is, this is the reality of where this country is at, in that you've got a government that an internal party that has captured the state, has deployed its own people, corruption has become the order of the day, and now that it's losing power and losing influence and incapable of even providing for its own so-called people, you end up with this problem. So some of it is sabotage because people are angry. Some of it is the fact that they've just been mismanaging the thing. But in all truth, it really, at its core, all of us need to look back here. We can't look at Andre de Reiter. We have to look at the ANC and say, 15 years on, you have failed the country.
Musi Mamani, founder of One Movement South Africa, sharing his thoughts. I'd love yours, 34519 or 0618951019.